Welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 10. I'm your host, Chris Ramirez. Thank you for joining me as we approach the Christmas holiday. Christmas is right around the corner. Holy, like I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet, but it's the 20th. I got lots of time left, according to myself. But that's all that matters. Hope your December has been going well. If it hasn't, doesn't matter. The end of the year is right here. End of the decade as well. So looking forward to that. A couple of things have happened since last week, right? Last week's podcast, we talked about where Taylor Hall might go. This week, we found out exactly where he went. Big splash in the NHL. Taylor Hall is now a member of the Arizona Coyotes, which I did mention on the last episode that it was a possibility that he goes there. And in fact, he did. So good for the Arizona Coyotes. Good for John Chychrun. Chaika. However, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know his name. Good for him. He went out. What I really like about that deal, though, is Arizona did not give up a bunch of top quality prospects. Like, they gave up some good players, good kids that may become NHL players, but you didn't give up any grade A prospects, which is amazing. Obviously, it makes sense because, you know, the Devils were kind of backed into a corner here. Taylor Hall didn't want to sign with the team, so they knew that he was probably going to leave for nothing. You can't let him leave for nothing. So Ray Shero had to go out and get something, and he got what he could. He got a first-round draft pick. He potentially has another first-round draft pick in 2021. The conditions to those are, you know, if they re-sign Taylor Hall and they win one round in the playoffs, that third-round pick in 2021 becomes a first-round pick instead. I broke down that trade over at the Fantasy Fix. You can go check that out, www.thefantasyfix.com. I talked about the trade, talked about what I think, you know, winners and losers. Again, is there really a winner and a loser in this case? Obviously, winners here is Arizona, but how does this trade work out long term? I broke down a little bit the prospects as well, who the Devils are getting in return. But all in all, good for the New Jersey Devils. This is not the season they hoped they would be having, but they got something. They can move on from this. Arizona now becomes a legitimate contender in the Pacific Division. And they should be a contender. Like, if you live under a rock and you're like, well, Arizona's not that good. Well, welcome to the end of 2019. The Coyotes are actually a pretty good team. How good are they? They are tied for first in the Pacific Division with the Vegas Golden Knights. And that Pacific Division has kind of become like a black hole. I don't want to say it's garbage, because I would reserve that for the Atlantic Division, really. But the Pacific Division has, I would say they have four good teams and then four other just, you're there, okay? The Anaheim Ducks are last, right? Which is surprising because the LA Kings are absolute garbage. Those two teams are not going to make the playoffs. San Jose probably won't either. Vancouver's kind of hanging around there. They're there. They're not. They're good. Sometimes they're bad as well. They're still in it. Anybody is still in it. We haven't reached the halfway point just yet. But Arizona, Las Vegas, Edmonton, and Calgary. Those are the four teams that are basically fighting for three spots. And like, the Flames have been all right. The Edmonton Oilers have kind of surprised a little bit. Las Vegas is Las Vegas. Arizona is, I mean, they're a good team. This is not a team that you look at as well and say, well, they don't really score a lot of goals. That's the number one conversation a lot of people have. And they don't score many goals per game. As a matter of fact, they're 24th. When I wrote my piece at the beginning of the week, they were 24th in goals 4/60. Anything is an improvement from the New Jersey Devils, who are ranked 30th. So Taylor Hall is going to a team that can at least score a little bit more, but they need another winger to complement Phil Kessel. Kessel can't do it alone. Clayton Keller is still trying to find that groove. So now Arizona has two elite scoring wingers on a team that is built on defense first with strong goaltending. Darcy Kuemper got hurt earlier, right? In yesterday's game. I think it was yesterday's game. It's probably yesterday's game. Let me check. He got hurt. Anyways, he's week to week, which is never what you want to hear. By the way, that's never a good sign. Yes, he did. It was in the last night's game where Arizona got absolutely shelled by Minnesota 8-5. Wow. But yeah, so that's not good. But let's see, you know, how Antti Raanta does what he needs to do. This is a guy who was expected to be the starting goalie in Arizona that hasn't really worked out for him. So let's see how he tackles that. But Arizona is still a team that's built. They play good defense, which we all know they do. They have not, in their division, they're the only team that has not given up more than 100 goals yet this year. They're a plus 11, which is respectable. And if you want to put this a little bit into context here, okay, the Arizona Coyotes have 105 goals for, and the Edmonton Oilers have 109. That's not, and everybody looks at Edmonton as being this team that can score goals. In reality, it's McDavid and Draisaitl, and then the rest of them are just nowhere to be seen. They have more goals than the Calgary Flames do. And like I said, they're a good team that I feel like Arizona doesn't get the respect that they deserve, which is normal because it's hockey in Arizona. So the 35 Coyote fans that are there, they know what's going on. The rest of the NHL kind of just like, oh, you know, Arizona. But I think the Taylor Hall trade for them is obviously good. It brings in an elite goal scorer. It's not like he's at the end of his career. Like, he's 28, Taylor Hall. He is going into unrestricted free agency. The team has already come out. Chyka's already come out and said, look, we're not going to renegotiate with him during the season. And that makes sense because they can't. Their cap situation obviously is tight. And did they pay a lot for a rental? I don't think so. The first round, you know, you paid a first round pick and three prospects for a guy and a conditional third, to have him, you know, be who he is. Assuming they win one round in the playoffs and they don't re-sign him, that third round conditional pick would then become a second round pick. So still, you give up a first round pick, a second round pick, and three players to go out and get an elite goal scorer who can help you make a run in the playoffs. Are the Arizona Coyotes a Stanley Cup contending team? I don't know. We should pump the brakes on there before we start selling that idea. But they can legitimately win their division, and that's good. You secure home ice advantage. Defense wins championships. We already know that. Teams that play well defensively and have a defensive structure are more likely to win games. This is known. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go on a deep run in the playoffs. And I think selling the idea to Taylor Hall about staying in Arizona is going to be the number one thing. Not negotiating with him during the season just kind of says, hey, look, come here, do your thing, get to know the city. They didn't wait till the trade deadline to do this. They did it quick. Come here. Come live the Arizona lifestyle. It's going to be real nice going to the arena when it's like 30 degrees outside. And just see how he clicks. The pressure is off, right? This is Arizona. Let's not forget that. Again, my apologies to the 35 Coyote fans in Arizona. Like, they don't even have a beat writer that travels with them on the road. So this is not a team that everybody's watching. This isn't one of those heavy pressure markets like it was in Edmonton. I mean, New Jersey was just, he kind of had to be the face a little bit of that franchise. He doesn't really have to be in Arizona. He can be just one of those players that's there. And like I said, the media attention that's not surrounding him all the time, he can just go there, play hockey. If Arizona can free up some money, you know, come before July 1st, I do think they have a legitimate chance at signing him. I do, though, think that teams like, apparently Calgary made a really late push to acquire his services. I still think Colorado's probably the best fit for him. So those are two franchises. And, oh, wait, sorry. I'm forgetting one. Florida. I still think Florida has a chance there. So there's at least three teams plus Arizona who could throw some serious money at Taylor Hall to sign him long term. And Colorado has the best cap situation of those four teams. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go about re-signing Taylor Hall, if they can re-sign Taylor Hall, if he's just committed to testing the free agent market. Maybe he doesn't want to stay in Arizona. That's a possibility as well. Maybe he is a pure rental. But they're going to have first dabs at trying to sign him. and keeping him in the desert state. But again, good for Arizona. It's nice to have some good players there, and maybe this, you know, gets hockey going a little bit there. They're a good team. More people should be attending Arizona Coyote hockey games. But again, selling ice in the desert, it's quite hard. But whatever. Let's move on to the main topic that I want to talk about today. And I know I've already done a podcast about the art of trading, which is, I think, is what I called it as well. So about how about to go about trading with other owners in your fantasy hockey league. Today we're going to talk about the waiver wire specifically, because I feel like the waiver wire and trading goes hand in hand. And I'm going to talk about three specific situations in my fantasy hockey league where the waiver wire has helped me facilitate trades, or actually facilitate two trades. One I'm hoping the other owner does say yes. But I'm going to go through the thought process here, because I feel like the waiver wire is kind of what people just avoid. They forget about it. They don't monitor it as they should be. It's neglected, but when done properly, when you utilize the waiver wire correctly, you can create some serious value. You can create depth for your team, which is needed. And by that, you can facilitate trades. You can maybe give a little bit more than you want to because you've acquired pieces that help you do that. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Before that, I'm going to open my beverage of choice today. Let's see if I can. Wonderful. My choice today is Rockstar Punched energy drink. I like the punch. It's kind of like juice. So it's pretty good. Let me take a. Delicious. Okay, so let's get right into it. So in this league, I've made two trades, and the waiver wire has facilitated the process for me to make these trades. Because again, if you're using the waiver wire correctly, first things first about it, okay, you should be looking at the waiver wire every single day, in the morning, at night, doesn't matter where. I would prefer to check it late at night, right? If you stay up late, if you're a late owl or whatnot, whatever they call it, night owl, you should probably check it out, because you're going to get into a part where injuries have happened. Maybe some players are out of the lineup. In-game injuries happen. If you wait till the next morning, right? I know there's some people who wake up really early for work. In this league, I'm with a guy who's probably up at 3 a.m. anyways. He gets first dibs on it. It's not a fab, right? So there's no free agent budget, betting, and whatnot. It's basically trying to claim players. So yeah, I like to check it late at night. I just want to see what other owners are doing. I want to see who they're adding, who they're dropping. Because if you're adding a player, it means you have a need. And that's probably the position that you lack in the most. Sometimes it'll just be, you know, owners claiming and dropping goalies because they're trying to get spot starts, which is normal because in most leagues, goalies are pretty valuable. For example, this is a 12-team league, okay? 12-team league, most teams carry three goalies, okay? That means 36 goalies are off the board. There are not 36 good goalies in the NHL. Okay? There aren't even 30 of them, by the way. There's 32 starters, but even then, I mean, again, let's not count Jonathan Quick as a starter, right? My apologies again for if you did read my the Fantasy Alarm draft kit. I said a lot of nice things about Jonathan Quick. He was an absolute disappointment. He continues to be one. My apologies again. But anyway, so there's a lot of adding of goalies. I don't really worry too much about that. It's mostly just owners trying to spot start, see what they can get. Unless, which is what happened here in my case, you pick up a goalie and he becomes legit pretty good, i.e. Tristan Jarry. Now again, if you read my stuff over, if you don't read my stuff over at the Fantasy Alarm, you should probably change that. You should become a member. You can get like a massive discount on all their stuff going out right now. If you use the promo code Morais, M-O-R-A-I-S, at checkout, you save an extra 15% on literally everything. Okay, so that gives you my weekly waiver wire article, which is what I tell people to read, because these are players, again, sometimes people are like, oh, maybe you're just recommending players. No, these are players I'm adding, or these are players I'm trying to add. Everything I write about in there are players I want to add, or I'm actively adding. Because again, I'm trying to give you my best advice here. Try to help you win that league there. Whether it's bragging rights, whether it's a $1 million prize pool, doesn't matter. But I talked about a little bit about how utilizing the waiver wire will help create value so you can move other players. So the first trade I made this year was, I mean, it was a good one. I liked it. And it happened because I was able to add Tristan Jarry off the waiver wire. Now, Jarry has become the starter in Pittsburgh. Like, Matt Murray's not the starter anymore. He should not be. He should be relegated to a backup. Backup where he plays maybe 35% of his team's games remaining. But by adding Tristan Jarry, this freed up a goalie on my team. So the goalies on my team at that point, I had Jarry, I had Mackenzie Blackwood, who was not that great, Carey Price, Philip Grubauer. So now I have four goalies. This means that I can now move one. I didn't need to hold four. Okay, in this league, saves are important, goals against save percentage and whatnot, but it gave me the opportunity to move a goalie. And this trade between me and this other owner, I was giving up Claude Giroux, John Klingberg, Carey Price. In return, I was requiring Steven Stamkos and Mikko Rantanen. Now, let's put this one into context here. A, Mikko Rantanen was hurt. He was coming back. I knew there was a market for him. That's the key player I wanted in this trade. Steven Stamkos as well in this league has center and left wing eligibility. I needed a left winger. I didn't have one. I had picked up Rust earlier in the year. Okay, so that helped plug a hole on a team where I have Giroux playing left wing because he has triple position eligibility in this league, which is a huge, huge advantage. Like, if you are in a league where you have to start a certain amount of left winger, a certain amount of right winger, a certain amount of centerman, having a forward who has all three position eligibility really just opens up the possibilities of how you can plug him into your lineup. It's an asset. So this other owner says, well, I'm interested in Claude Giroux. Perfect. I also know that he needs goaltending help. Voila, I have four goalies. I can move one. Trading Carey Price was not something I wanted to do, but I knew I could do it. He had a tough November, right? This deal went down where? Beginning of December. So yeah, I know he had a tough November, and then he had a couple of good starts in December. Perfect. I can now sell him. I can get something. If I'm going to acquire Mikko Rantanen, I got to give up talent. And again, I talked about this in The Art of Trading. You have to trade talent if you want to receive talent. Other owners are not dumb. Okay, they don't sleep under a rock. They know exactly what's going on. You need to be ahead of your game here. So in my mind now, because I've added a goalie, okay, I've added Tristan Jarry and Rust. I really thought those two, I said, these aren't just players who are going to show up and then they're going to fade out. No, these are guys who are going to probably perform all year, or at least I'm hoping. But at that moment, I said, all right, I've now created depth on my team, and the waiver wire will do that for you. If you're active on it, you're going to find players who are going to give your team some depth, because this allows you to A, move that player off the waiver wire that you've, right? You add a player and then you trade him, or if you think he's legit, helps you move other pieces to acquire better players. Because if the way I look at this deal for me, if I'm the owner giving up Steven Stamkos and Mikko Rantanen for Claude Giroux and Carey Price, I'm probably not making that deal one. I'm not making that deal two for two. But I know he needs goalie help, which is probably putting him in a tough situation. I throw in John Klingberg, who I just don't think is really where he needs to be. I don't. I think he's all right. He's got 12 points this season. Okay. Not great. It's not great. He should have more. I think he should have more. He's a minus seven. He's not taking as many shots on goals as I like. He was a perfect, in my mind, a sell high candidate. I'm selling his name, just like I'm doing with Carey Price. I'm selling his name. I know that he can be really good. I know that. He's got nobody to challenge him behind him, okay? Kaden Primo's not challenging him. I mean, Keith Kincaid is barely an AHL goalie anymore. He's getting destroyed in the AHL, okay? And, I mean, that's it. Charlie Lindgren is not going to steal his job. But on the surface, Carey Price has 15 wins up till now, right? He's got a 284 goals against average and a 907 save percentage. And in our league, goals against average and save percentage are counted. So he's had a tough start. And I know he's probably going to do well. And he has, by the way. In the month of December, since I traded him, he's done well. He's got what? Bunch of wins here and there. He's got his save percentage in the 1, 2, 3, 4, last six games. So since December 3rd, he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. His save percentage has been at or above 900 five of the six times, with the exception of last night in Calgary, where it was at 889. First time he's given up three goals in the month of December. So obviously November's behind. I know this owner knows that he's getting a good player. I know that I can move Carey Price now because Tristan Jarry is hot. I didn't want to move him because I do think that in a somewhat maybe crazy idealistic way, maybe Tristan Jarry finishes higher than Carey Price at the end of the year in all goalie stats. It's possible that he doesn't, but I'm going to take the risk here. Or at least I tell myself it's fine with me because I'm going out to acquire Mikko Rantanen. And anytime you have an opportunity to acquire a top-end talent, and Mikko Rantanen is one of them, he's a top player who's, again, coming back from injury. So his stats on paper don't look good. He's playing with Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, and Cale Makar when he's healthy. Nazem Kadri's there. Samuel Girard. They got a good team. This team is built to score goals. And Mikko Rantanen is part of it. So I wanted every part of that. This league as well counts hits and block shots. I'd lose those two stat categories every single week. I don't care for them. I don't want to care for them. I'm not going out to add Ben Chiarot, right, who, again, this other owner was trying to tell me was a good place. This is why I have Ben Chiarot. I'm like, Jesus, man. It's 2019. We're talking about Ben Chiarot. You're right. In a league with hits and block shots, he becomes somewhat of an asset. But let's not pretend that Ben Chiarot is a better idea than John Klingberg. Again, for me, I was losing the hits and block shots category. I was not going to take him back. At the same time, I had some players who were injured. I want to free up one of those free spots. Right, and it kind of like some people do in fantasy baseball, right, with pitchers. You always have like that one pitcher that you rotate off the waiver wire. You try to spot start other pitchers. You want to kind of have that free spot on your roster. You can get guys going in and out. In and out, if you need to add somebody late in the week, you can get them in. So that's what I like to have. I like to have that free spot. If I don't have that free spot, I'll trade one extra player. I'll do a 2-for-1 deal, or in this case, a 3-for-2. Acquiring Steven Stamkos was also pretty nice because let's not forget that he plays in Tampa Bay with Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point. So he's going to do well. Since that trade, he's done absolutely well. He's scoring some goals. He has 30 points. He's a -7, which kind of sucks. But he's got 30 points. He's taken a whole bunch of shots. I mean, this was really easy for me. A, B as well here. Okay, he's got left wing eligibility. Which again for me was a must. I'm playing him at left wing because I have too many centers and too many right wings. I need the guy there. Again, I was taking back Mikko Rantanen, who's a right winger. I didn't let this stop me. Okay. And I hear this all the time. Well, I have too many players at that position. Look, I acquired another right winger and I said I'll deal with it later. Which when we get to the second trade, I'll talk about how I dealt with it. But again, I'm acquiring a player. Even if I have too many right wingers where I can't start them. And this, by the way, I added Cam Atkinson off the waiver wire that same week as well because that's the extra player I wanted to add to my roster. He's on the waiver wire. I said, that's a guy I can target. I wrote about it in the waiver wire piece and I said, this is the guy I want. So I added him. He got hurt now, blah, 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 blah. But at that time, that's the extra player I wanted to get on my roster. So in reality, I'm kind of getting Mikko Rantanen, Steven Stamkos, and Cam Atkinson, which is fine. It's a deal that made sense for me. It's a deal that made sense for him. But again, the waiver wire helped me get there. If I do not add Rust and Jerry, I can't make that trade. I can't because I'm giving up. I don't have the pieces to give it up. I'm not going to roll with Grubauer, who was hurt at that point. I knew it was hurt, but I said I can survive it. That's fine. I'll live with it. I'll go with whatever I got there. And you know, again, Rust, the hole at left wing would have been so big that I still would have had to do something else to fill that void. So because I was active on the waiver wire, because I'm going out and I'm taking, again, not every waiver wire player that you add is going to work out. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. You drop them and you look for another one. You don't have to fall in love with them. You don't have to marry your waiver wire pickups. They come in, they come out sometimes. Sometimes I add a player and then an hour later, I'm like, what did I do? I drop him. I got 5 ads per week. I'm using all 5. I'm as active as humanly possible because I'm going to find possibilities. The same thing as well with John Klingberg. I traded him away because somebody dropped Werenski. Again, owners are going to panic. This is a league where I have one IR spot. Sorry. So some owners are saying, well, I can't hold on. If your team is hurt, they got to drop it. They should be looking to make a trade, but whatever. Werenski's dropped. I add him. I leave him there. I hold him on my IR spot, and I said, it's perfect with me. Or even, what was it, last week? I had him in my starting lineup. He's still on IR, but that's a player I can add. Klingberg and Werenski on paper for me, maybe they finish about the same at the end of the year. So I'm getting my free player at that point if I wanted him as well. Cam Atkinson is the other one that I added. And like I said, I had opportunities. The waiver wire was giving me opportunities to add depth and allow me to do trades. So that's the first one. Second trade here that I made afterwards was today. And now I fix another situation. So I'm looking to add a top center. I have Larkin and I have Taves on my team with Bo Horvat. Like, those are three very similar players right now who are doing a little bit of nothing, but not just nothing enough to drop. I'm not giving them away. I gave away Ryan Getzlaff while I had on my team. Obviously, he was added, and I should have probably kept him and dropped somebody else. But anyways, I didn't do that. So remember how I said I had too many right wingers before, okay? Here's where I addressed the need. So the player I was looking to acquire here is Sebastian Aho. So Sebastian Aho has been hot. Tero Teravainen has been hot. Svechnikov is hot. The Carolina Hurricanes are on fire. Sebastian Aho has 21 goals this season, 105 shots. I really do think he's going to be one of the better players in the league. I think his second half is going to be just as good. This is a player I want to buy into. Perfect. Now I got to give up some talent. Again, because I've acquired some players, and now here's the thought process. Somebody dropped Victor Arvidsson when he got hurt the first time. 4 to 6 weeks, I said, this is a player that can score goals. My team is based on scoring goals, picking up assists, lots of shots, and by some miracle, my plus minus is decent as well. So I'm saying, fine, I'm going to add Victor Arvidsson now, and I'm going to stash him on IR. I'm going to put Werenski in my lineup now that he's healthy. Boom. Everybody's happy. Wonderful. Arvidsson's going to have to come off IR at some point. I really do think he's getting close. He's not right there. Most important thing for me again here, Victor Arvidsson is left wing and right wing eligibility. I can't say that word, but I'm going to get it by the end, I promise. So again, now I have another left winger that I can plug into my lineup somewhere where it works. So for context here, my right wing, Riley Smith, now Mikko Rantanen, Patrick Kane. I have Sam Reinhart and Brock Besser. That's a lot of right wingers that I can't get them all in sometimes. And that sucks. I have too much of a good thing on one side. Again, I still went out to trade for Mikko Rantanen knowing damn well that it was going to happen. Sam Reinhart was playing at center because I have to fit him somewhere in. And I mean, that's just what it was. But again, I hate owners that say, well, I can't acquire, I have too much of this. Doesn't matter. Acquire the best player available, fix it later. I didn't say, well, I don't want to acquire Mikko Rantanen. No, I want to acquire Mikko Rantanen and I'll figure it out later. And then I did. That's what I did. I figured it out because I traded Sam Reinhart, Brock Besser for Sebastian Aho. And in my mind, I'm giving up just a little bit too much here. Okay, Sam Reinhart is on a Buffalo team that's doing pretty well, but he goes as far as Jack Eichel goes in my mind. So Jack Eichel missed last game because he was hurt, and this team looked like an absolute mess. He has 28 points this season. He's got 70 shots, which is all right. He's a minus two. Like, he's good, but maybe not good enough yet. He's there, but I said, okay, this was the player I was looking to move. In a lot of the trades that I sent out today, because I sent out a couple of flyers, just seeing what owners were thinking, if they were willing to bite. And this one owner bit right away. No rebuttal, no nothing, no send back. He said yes. He took it right off the bat. I was like, perfect. I evaluated the odds of what he needed perfectly. This is an owner as well, a little bit lower in the standings. Okay. He needs some depth. He needs some players to come in, and he needs to make his team better. If I'm not mistaken, let me check here. Because I have my league page open. I think he's lost. Is it possible that he's last? He's last, okay? So he's last in our league. And good for him, by the way, for wanting to make his team better. He went out, got what he needed to get done. Boom. That's it. I gave him what he needed. He needed some pieces to get there. I know he had some players up front. Just his team was kind of not performing super well. He's got the center depth where he can get it done, but he needs as well some wingers. His right wing is not particularly bad, right? But he's adding a right winger, and he's adding players who can make his team better. I didn't want to trade Brock Besser. But like I said, when your right wing is Rantanen and Patrick Kane, and I really like Riley Smith. I think he's come out. I think he's maybe on par with Brock Besser just because the Vegas Golden Knights are such a good team. He's scoring goals. He's got 14 this season, which is nice. I like that. Again, a little bit of a surprise. I didn't think he would do that. Beginning of the year, I was like, ah, oh, man, why did I take him? Boom, I took him because he's good. That's how that works out for me, right? Besser's got more points, though, right? He's got 34 points. He's got 12 goals. He's racking up assists. He's going to keep doing that. So in my mind, the deal that I made here where I'm acquiring Aho for Besser is kind of like even a little bit. But again, maybe because goals are important in this league as well, the owner kind of says, well, I don't know. Well, I'm perfectly fine with giving up Reinhardt as the extra player because I'm going to get Victor Arvidsson back at some point. And this is where, like I said, if you utilize the waiver wire properly and you're active, at one point, Arvidsson's going to come back. I've basically made, by default, he's giving me Sebastian Aho and Victor Arvidsson for Brock Besser and Sam Reinhardt. That's a pretty even deal, both sides, depending on what your needs are. Do I need another centerman? No, I don't need another one. But guess what? I'm going to make my center position better. That's what I'm doing here. I was playing Sam Reinhardt at center now. Now I have Braden Point and Sebastian Aho as my centers with Jonathan Toews there. And then, like I said, I have Steven Stamkos who can play center. Thomas Hertl has center eligibility as well. Bo Horvat, Dylan Larkin are still my centermen. I picked up Eric Staal as well because he's there just because Minnesota seems to be scoring goals in bunches. I'm going to take advantage of that hot streak until Arvidsson comes back. I have an abundance of centermen. I'll find a way to figure it out when I cross it. I'm going to cross bridges when I get to them to figure out what I need to do with those players. That's the most important here. Don't say no to a trade because, well, I have too many of them. Figure it out later. Get the best player possible. Acquiring Sebastian Aho to me was a pretty damn smart idea. So I went out and I did that. And so far, those two trades, in my mind, have worked out very well for both sides. Right? We're going to find out a little bit more about the Aho one. I made that one today. I'm going to find out how that's going to go in the last couple of weeks. The earlier trade that I made before, it's worked out nicely for everybody involved. I'm extremely happy with having Mikko Rantanen and Steven Stamkos on my team. Right? Here's the third trade that I'm hoping I'll be able to make, but as of right now, I don't have the owner saying yes. But let's go through the process here again. So, I mentioned earlier, right? Darcy Kuemper was hurt. Perfect. I love that. Because what's the first thing that I do? I go and I add the backup. So, why? Saw the injury happen live. I was watching that game, and I said, perfect. Is Antti Raanta owned? No. Wonderful. Now he's owned. Because I have this rotating spot on my team where I can add a player, and I don't really have to give up much, I'm going to add him. Let me backtrack. I usually do have it here in this case. Cam Atkinson got hurt, so I dropped him. I said, fine, I'll worry about Cam Atkinson later. Okay. If I'm lucky enough, maybe he'll still be there. I'll re-add him on my team. Everybody will be happy. But at this moment, I said, let me go out and get what I need. So now I add Antti Raanta, who gives me now this gives me four goalies. And now I have four goalies on my team, which is nice. Again, do I need Antti Raanta? Absolutely not. I don't think he's as good as Kuemper. Kuemper right now is week to week. You know, a little iffy here and there, but in my mind, what I wanted is I need to add Antti Raanta, and I need to find who is the owner who has Darcy Kuemper. I found him, obviously, and I said, perfect. Let me try to package a trade together. Let me try to package something, see if I can get this done. Again, I'm asking for one of his better players. I'm looking to add Svechnikov because he's scoring lacrosse goals and he's heating up so quickly. I can pair him with Sebastian Aho, which again, which is never a bad idea. Just like in DFS, if you can pair talented players together, when they score goals and points and whatnot, they go off, everybody's happy, right? So wonderful. I add players like that. I mean, even if they don't play a lot together all the time, I know lines are in and out, but I'm trying to add the best players to my team possible. I can't acquire Teravainen because that's not the owner who has him, but doesn't matter. Aho, Svechnikov play on different lines. Does at some point something maybe balances out. They play the power play together. Blah, blah, blah. It's good enough for me. And then I look to add another player. Now, again, because I have too many right wingers still, I still feel like I do, I'm going to look to trade another one. So the deal that I have right now is Antti Raanta, Riley Smith for Svechnikov. Is it a balanced trade? I mean, I'm biased a little bit here, okay? Right? I would say yes. But I'm looking to see if I can take advantage short-term of an injury. If, let's say, Kepper's ruled out farther than week to week. Let's say they give him a timetable. Let's say 4 to 6. Well, now this owner's short a goalie. A good goalie, by the way. And he needs something to happen. Am I getting better at a certain position? Absolutely. I'm getting better at a certain position. I'm getting better along the board everywhere. He's gonna get a goalie that he can use. I don't see the need, moi, to carry 4 goalies. I just don't need it right now. I don't need it. I know that Mackenzie Blackwood's kind of like, meh, but the Devils are going to win sometimes. Blackwood has played a little bit better. He's just on a garbage hockey team. But I feel like Tristan Jarry and Philip Grubauer can do most of the heavy lifting for me. That's all I need. I need my third goalie to just, in the proper starts, good matchups, I'll be able to take advantage of it. So again, I'm looking to add a player in Svechnikov who can score goals. The important part as well here, dual position eligibility. I tackle players, or I look to acquire ones that have two can play two positions. Riley Smith can only play one. He's good. I'd like a player who can play more than one. Now again, Svechnikov has a whole bunch of points. He's got 36 points. He's taken a bunch of shots on goal. This is a tight one. I don't know if the owner would say yes, but I'm hoping he'll throw me something back if he doesn't like it. But this is the type of trade, again, that I can make, or that I'm at least looking at acquiring a player off the waiver wire that facilitates a trade. That's all you're looking to do with the waiver wire. Waiver wire is good when you have injuries, obviously, because you replace the player, but it's important to scout the waiver wire and look for advantages that you can find that can either help facilitate a trade with an owner, or maybe facilitates your ability to create some depth. Because when you create depth on your lineup, there's one owner in this league, I can't trade with him because he has everything. He has everything. I look at his lineup and I'm like, man, you don't have any holes. Real good guy. I could probably get a trade done with him, but everything that I'm going to send him, like, it's not good enough to acquire maybe one of those talented players that I want. I'd have to still give up maybe too much, or the 2-for-1 deal that I'm trading is not good enough to get him to say, okay, I'll trade one of my superstars away, because you don't have any holes, because he does a good job of manning the waiver wire. And I'm like, ugh, why are you so good at what you do? So that, to me, like I tell people, is the most important thing about the waiver wire. Stay active. Every day you got to look at it. See what the other owners are doing. Who are they dropping? Who are they adding? Again, if they're adding forwards and players, it's because there's a need. There's a need for something. Do you have maybe a player that can help permanently fix that need? Again, he's looking. That's the first thing that owner is kind of sending out to the entire universe in your pool. This is who I'm adding because I have a need at this position. Me, I like to try to meet that need, permanently fix it, see if I can get something in return. That's the art of trading, right? Like I said, we talked about it. And using the waiver wire efficiently helps get you to where you need to be. It's helped facilitate two of my trades in this league. I mean, my team was I was last. I was garbage. I mean, I was getting blown out earlier in the year. Carey Price was not good. My team was not great. I knew I had to make some changes. I didn't panic. Let about a month and a half of the season go through and say, all right, where do I need help? What do I need to do? Actively look at the waiver wire, see if I can get... I got lucky. I'm not going to lie. I got lucky with a couple of things. I still made some bad decisions as well. I wasn't quick enough on Anthony Duclair. I dropped Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and he's become good. I mean, I let Ryan Getzlaff go for nothing. You know, I haven't been perfect here, but the goal is to have more good pickups than you have bad pickups. That's the one thing. I picked up Josh Morrissey. Not a great ad, but I mean, he fills a need that I have. He's all right. My defense position is not great. Tyson Barrie was off to a miserable start. He's getting better. It's getting better. That's who I tried to offload instead of Klingberg. You know, owner comes around and says, look, I'll make this deal if you throw in Klingberg. All right. I'll do it. Am I giving up too much? I don't know. I don't think so. Because what I'm acquiring in return is what I need. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why you need to be active on the waiver wire. I can't stress it enough. Be a good trading partner. Evaluate their other, you know, the other owner's needs, send a fair trade. That way you don't have to go back and forth, negotiate, waste your whole life. You get a good deal off the start. Everybody's happy. Even if you gave a little bit more, it doesn't matter. Trades are not 50-50. You're buying some value. And sometimes, like I tell people, you know, trading four quarters for a dollar sometimes, yes, it looks the same. But, I mean, if you want to buy candy in one of those little machines that only takes quarters, your dollar's not going to help you here in this case. So trade for what you need. If there's another owner who, you know, he doesn't have a player that can fill that spot that he's looking for, you know, give him a little bit of what he needs, maybe overpay a little bit, but go get a superstar return. That's what I liked in this deal. That's what I wanted to do with acquiring Mikko Rantanen. That's the player I wanted, and I was able to get it done because I did well on the waiver wire. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up episode 10. I probably won't do a podcast next week because it's Christmas, and then the week after that is New Year's. So this will be the podcast leading up until the week, the first week after New Year's, right? I'm going to do it on Wednesday. I wanted to do it on Wednesday. I waited a little bit because I was like, oh, wait. I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about. And then when I completed these trades and I was talking with somebody about the waiver wire, I said, man, I don't feel like enough people are utilizing the waiver wire. This is why I decided to talk about this. So again, you should check out the Taylor Hall piece that I wrote at thefantasyfix.com. If you're not a subscriber at the Fantasy Alarm, you should do that. Again, you can save another 15%. Oh my God, on an already liquidated price. I don't even know how much it is, but it's super cheap. It's under $100. You get the entire, I mean, you get NFL, you get MLB, you get the draft guide as well. So if you win more than one sport, you get access to like a whole bunch of stuff, including what I write about hockey, which is the number one reason why you should do it, of course. But yeah, you should check that out. If you use the promo code MORAIS at checkout, you save a whole 15% again. Just makes an excellent gift for yourself. That's it. Ladies, if your man plays fantasy sports in general, DFS as well, daily fantasy sports, if he's big into that, you get the playbook, you get example lineups, you get a whole bunch of great stuff. Just go check it out if that's what you want. As always, you can follow Slapshot Podcast on Twitter, at Slapshot Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter, at FuzzyChris91. If you have a question, maybe you have a trade, you're not sure if you should pull the trigger, you want to evaluate stuff, slide into the DM. Tell me. I'll help you out here. You can check out the podcast, obviously, in a whole bunch of places. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can get it there. Subscribe, rate the podcast, please. Thank you very much. You can get it on Stitcher, and you can get it on Podbean. You can get it on the YouTubes. You can get it in a whole bunch of great places. This has been an absolute blast. The end of the year, the end of the decade is here. Happy holidays to everybody who listens to the Slapshot Podcast. Thank you so much. This has been a blast. I can't wait for 2020 so we can talk about different things and just a whole bunch of real life hockey, fake hockey stuff. I'm so excited for 2020 to show up. What a decade this has been as well. I'm glad that all of you have jumped on board this journey of listening to me ramble on about sports. Like I said, it makes me really happy when people tell me that they listen to the podcast, they love it, and that it helps them in whatever way it can. That's my goal here, is to always make sure that you're competitive in your leagues or that you're looking at certain things, try to keep you on your edge. I want you to win those pools, win those leagues, make that money, or just bragging rights, man. Just bragging rights is important too. I want you to brag and tell people, you know, maybe your resume is empty, but you should probably put, you know, fantasy blank champ, whatever year. That to me is credible. So yes, thank you so much for joining me, and we will talk to each other in the new year. Bye-bye.